1240 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1240. And beginning with the 10th verse, we will read responsively through the 14th verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10 through 14, page 1240. May we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. And let's read together the 14th verse, which is the text verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And let's pray. And Father, thank you so very much for your word. Thank you for Free America, which allows us to possess copies of the word. Thank you for freedom to preach it, to teach it, to spread it. But we have further a responsibility to know it, to hear it. Help us tonight in the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I'm going to lift out that one little phrase, the communion of the Holy Ghost, and speak to you tonight, as of course briefly because of the Lord's Supper night. Time is not as plentiful. And so I want to speak to you for just a while from that one little line, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast one truth for us tonight. May we go home with it. Give us what Thou hast for us, and give us, I pray, the right kind of ground so the seed may find a welcome, that it may bring forth fruit unto life eternal. Amen. There's no need whatsoever for all the friction that we have in our Baptist churches across America. No need for it at all. It's ridiculous, unnecessary, it's not needed. I was in a church just the other day. It's going to split right down the middle, and there's no need for it. It's not necessary. And I say 95% of it's not necessary. If a church doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God, doesn't believe salvation by grace through faith, doesn't believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible, then you ought to get out of it. But I'm talking about when people that believe the basics and fundamentals. No need for that. It's ludicrous, the fussing that Christians have with each other. There's no need for it. It's not necessary. It's silly. And there are provisions made to avoid it in the Bible. Man needs fellowship. Now, there are three types of fellowship that every man needs in order that he may be a completely furnished man. A man needs fellowship with those above him. There needs to be somebody above him with whom he can have fellowship, who can enrich him, guide him, encourage him, strengthen him, and lead him. Secondly, man needs fellowship with those who are his own equals. He needs fellowship with those about his age, about his standing, about his position in life, about the same degree of growth and grace. Thirdly, a man needs fellowship with those below him. A man needs to be learning from those above him, rejoicing in truth with those with him, and instructing those below him. Anything that does not include all three of those forms of fellowship keeps a man from being a completely furnished man. Let me ask you the question. Do you have those forms of fellowship? Do you have fellowship with someone above you who can instruct you and teach you? Do you have fellowship with someone with you with whom you can rejoice in things that you have in common? Do you have fellowship with those beneath you, those whom you instruct and those whom you teach what others have taught you in days gone by? Now, when it comes, this fellowship comes, this communion comes, and here's the sermon. It comes through a medium. Two children grow up in the same family. They become close to each other as they grow older. Why? They've shared the same house. They love the same mother. They love the same father. They've enjoyed the same pleasures. And the medium has brought them together and given them fellowship and communion. Two scholars share the same interest. They seek the same truth. They read the same books. They try to find the same answer or the answers to the same questions. And the medium of their study causes them to have communion or fellowship. Not that they fellowship with each other, but that they have a medium that brings them together where they can have communion because of this medium. Two businessmen read the same Wall Street Journal, check the same stocks, work for the same goals, work at the same bank, share the same business interests. And these men become close to each other, not because they sought closeness, but because of a medium, something they had in common that brought them together. Two soldiers fight in the same battle. They share the same enemy. They fight for the same cause. They defend the same nation. They salute the same flag. They revere the same treasures and principles. And these soldiers have a communion with each other because of a medium. Two church members share the same church. They love the same church. They love the same preacher. They love the same Savior. They love the same invitation. They share a desire to see the souls of men saved. And they become close to each other because there's a medium that draws them together. You see, you don't get close to people just because you want to get close to people. You don't just walk up to somebody and say, let's be close. And you say, okay, close, 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 close. No, you don't do it that way. Closeness is a byproduct. You never get close to somebody seeking to be close to somebody. You get close to somebody sharing the same burden, and one day it dawns on you that you're close. Two things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And when two people share the same burden, share the same interest, share the same love, share the same hates, such as sin, those people come close together. Now let's illustrate this way. I almost brought some to me with the service, but I didn't. Let's take some dirt tonight. And let's get some little water and let's mix that dirt and let's mold it into a lump. Or a little ball of dirt. Now there's a closeness there because we tried to make it so. Now let's put that little ball of dirt over here with its moisture. Let's put over here a magnet. And that magnet, we're going to hold it above some shavings, and those shavings are going to be drawn close to that magnet. Before I finish preaching tonight, probably this little lump of clay is falling apart. Because there's no common medium that holds it together. The clay was attracted to itself. And because it was attracted to itself, when it becomes dry, it's going to fall apart. But the magnet, the little shavings, are close to each other, and they remain close to each other. Why? That's because they have gotten close to the same thing. Now over here, we tried to get the objects close to each other, and it did not last. Over here, we tried to get the objects close to a common denominator, a common medium, and it did last. Salvation, for example, is such a communion. You go to some foreign country, it doesn't mean as much to you here, but you go to some foreign country sometime, and you go to some missionary church out in the country and we're in a heathen country, and you hear some native people singing, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms," and you can feel close to those people just like that. I've been all over much of the world. And everywhere I've gone, I found God's people. When I find God's people, there is a communion in salvation. Now, if I tried to get close to those people, it wouldn't work. At least it would only be temporary. But if I try to get, if we have a common love, a common possession, and that thing is salvation, we get close to each other. Soul winning is the same thing. There are people that are soul winners. And brother, I tell you what, I was on the airplane one time and saw a fellow witnessing to somebody, and I almost had a spell right there on the airplane. Now I walked up to that fellow, reached out and shook his hand, and I said, "God bless you, neighbor. You're the first soul winner I ever met. I've flown over 5 million miles now on airplanes, and you're the only soul winner I ever met. Well, God bless you." We sat down, we talked about soul winning. Now why? Now that was the medium. And you know, I had about 30 minutes to talk to him. Well, I almost cried when I said goodbye to him. I was standing in line one time. There was our plane had some trouble. It was on the ground. That's my favorite place to have engine trouble, is on the ground. And so it had some engine trouble, and our flight was finally canceled. Had to stand in line for an hour to get my ticket redone, and oh, that's a grueling thing. And this fellow in front of me and I got to talking, and for 1 hour he grabbed to me, then I grabbed to him, then he grabbed to me, then I grabbed to him, then he grabbed to me, and I grabbed to him. And you know, by the time we got up there, and he was in front of me, and he left and said goodbye, I almost cried. I said, "I'm going to miss you, man." You know why? We had a common hatred, the United Airlines, and now I say that because that one time I happened to, United Airlines is one of my 10 favorite airlines, but one of our men in the PA room is a pilot for United, and so, but it's one of my 3 favorite airlines, really. But I'm saying that there was a common medium. Once a year I preach either at the, in North Carolina, at Dr. Bobby Robertson's church there in Walkertown, North Carolina, the Gospel Light Baptist Church, a big church, and we packed the place out for the National Bus Convention. Then every other year, it's at the First Baptist Church in Newcastle, Delaware. And you get all those, it's a bus convention, bus folks all over America, you get all those bus folks together. And I mean, boy, they talk about wiping snotty noses, and everybody knows what they're talking about. They're talking about some kid throwing up on them on a bus. Everybody's had a kid throw up on a bus. And they've thrown back up at the kid, too, by the way. And, you know, they get around each other, those bus workers of all America, and they have something in common. It draws them together. It's a medium that draws them together. The greatest of all of these mediums is the communion of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice it does not say the communion with the Holy Spirit. It says the communion of the Holy Spirit. It is not talking here basically about us communing with the Holy Spirit. He says, may the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you. May you enjoy the communion with each other caused by a common love and knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I wish I could describe to you how, and I'm about to really get real excited here. I wish I could describe to you how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. I really do. I just want to grab you and shake you sometimes, in fact, all the time. And I want to tell you some wonderful things that you're missing. I mean, it's pitiful. You people sit around and gossip all the time. Not anybody does here, but some folks in Arkansas do. But people, and sit around and talk, and criticize, and let me tell you what I think, and let me tell you something bad about him. Why don't you drop dead and let the rest of us have a good time? But I'm simply saying that there's something so wonderful for you. There is a Holy Spirit. He is a person. He lives in you. And he is wonderful. And It's a tragedy how that he lives in us and we do not even realize the wonder and the marvel of this amazing person who is just as much a person as John Colston is, just as much a person as God the Father is, just as much a person as Jesus Christ is. He lives in your body. The moment you got saved, he came in you to live. And he lives there, and he's wonderful, and he's marvelous, and he's precious, and he's great, and he's powerful, and he lives in you. I wish I could tell you about him tonight. I would tell you how, when I needed strength, he's given it to me. Did you know, Brother John, in just about 10 days, I'll preach my 43,500th sermon as a gospel preacher. I wish I could tell you tonight about the times he strengthened me. I was praising God this afternoon as I was talking to him for a while. I was praising God this afternoon for 21 years now without missing a single speaking engagement. I doubt if a preacher alive can make that statement. 21 years. I preach every day, just about, if not every day. I speak somewhere at least every day in some capacity. And in 21 years, I've not missed one single speaking engagement. I've not had one single, been homesick in bed one single day in 21 years. I'm simply saying, well, how do you do it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's this amazing person called the Holy Spirit that for all these years has given me strength. And thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit, this wonderful indweller of my body. I'd tell you tonight, if I could, about his great ability to comfort. I wish everybody knew the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but if I go away, I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, who will abide with you forever. And those of you that do not know him, and make him a part of your life. Get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And ask him to lead you which way to go to work in the morning. And don't ask him to lead you down Calumet to working on the street. But ask him to lead you to which way to go to work in the morning. And ask him to help you have strength as you wash the dishes. And ask him to have strength as you rear the children. And talk to him throughout the day. And walk with him. And make him your companion. And he's real. He's a person. He is real. He lives in you. I wish I could get you to realize this wonderful, wonderful occupant that you have in your body who wants to comfort you. Thank God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go without comfort. You don't have to always be seeking pity. You've got all the pity in eternity right there inside of you. You have to go around saying, Dave, I told you what a hard time I have. You don't have to do that. We can look at you and tell you're having trouble. I'm simply saying, inside of you, there dwells the Comforter, and he lives in you. He wants to comfort you. I would tell you tonight about his wonderful, wonderful power. I'd tell you how he offers you his mighty power. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And I wish I could tell you about the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God through all these years. I wish I could tell you how times and time and time again I've stood to speak like I'm speaking right now after having begged God for his powers. I did a long time this afternoon and a long time yesterday and a long time last night and a long time Friday and a long time Thursday and a long time Wednesday begging God for his power. I know I've prayed 10,000 times this week for the power of God to rest upon me while I preach. I wish you could stand in the pulpit and look out and see people who walk to church with no desire to do a thing for God. And all of a sudden, this amazing person reaches out and grabs them. And all of a sudden, they're listening and sitting on the edge of their seat. And come conviction after a while, down the aisle they come and receive Christ as Savior. Why? The mighty power of the Holy Spirit. That power is available for you. I thank God for that time many, many years ago, over 35 years ago, when I knelt on the grave of my alcoholic dad and I threw myself face down on daddy's grave. And I said, dear God, I'm not going to leave here till something happens to me. I knew something happened. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't tell anybody for years. because I wanted to be sure what it was. I suspicion that God's mighty power came on me. I suspicion that the great power of soul winning came on me. Let me stop and say this tonight. I'm a little sick and tired of soul winning being held in disrepute. I'm a little sick and tired of this deeper life crowd saying, hey, just dip them and drap them. Let me tell you something, my brother. If there's a hell that has fire and people that die in their sins are going to hell, pray tell me what else matters but to get people out of the fires of hell. People look down their snotty, snooty noses at First Baptist Church in Hammond because they're too highbrow for this old rowdy soul winning. You're looking up. You're not looking down. You look up to soul winning. Every great move of God that's ever existed started with some old-fashioned soul-winning people. I said on the broadcast last week, back when the Methodist movement first started, and John Wesley came today and cried himself to sleep every night to see what's left of what he founded. There was a day when the Methodist people bothered folks just like First Baptist Church of Hammond does now. Oh, but we, you know, we get a little floozy, and we get carpet on the floor, and we get the shoes that match each other, and we get pants that match our coats, and we even get a degree from some college. Well, that degree from the college doesn't make you any better. In fact, it may destroy you if you don't get down off your high horse and realize that Jesus died to save sinners. That's the purpose of it all. And let me just go ahead and make the declaration right now. As long as you, the fellow you're looking at right now, stands behind this pulpit, the main thrust of this church will be getting sinners out of hell. Now you mark it down. If you don't like that, just lump it or get out or get me out, one or the other. But as long as God gives me breath, I've come too far to be in one of these so-called deeper life churches. We're gonna, the house. You just don't disciple the saints. Well, you got a hole in your backslidden head. Brother, if you sit here Sunday morning and Sunday night, year after year after year, you know we disciple the saints. But if we didn't, I'd rather get one person out of hell than get 100 disciples. Oh, my soul hungers tonight for the old preachers of the pulpits in America to get back to the thing we used to do in years gone by. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. God deliver me from this white gloves Christianity. Must I be carried to the cross on flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Brother, if you can walk down the streets of that city right over there with 7 million people plunging toward the fires of hell and tears don't get in your eyes and you don't care, there's something wrong with you. Oh, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like to tell you, if I had time tonight, about His teaching, how He instructs you. You try to stay fresh for 27 years behind the same pulpit preaching to the same people. See what I'm talking about. You try to take old truths and find new light to shine on old truths. And you do it for 27 years. And all of a sudden, you stop to realize how fresh the Bible is to you. And how constantly the Holy Spirit is giving you a new light on the old truths. And all of a sudden, you stop to realize how inexhaustibly fresh this book is. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. What a wonderful person He is. James says, the Holy Spirit lusteth to be to you what you need Him to be. He lusteth. He lusteth with envy, James says, that He might be to you what He wants to be to you. I was down in Tyler, Texas, preaching several years ago. Building about 1,600 people was packed and jammed on a Monday night. I walked out like this, and sitting right over here next to this in this aisle was a middle-aged, maybe a little older than middle-aged, lady in a wheelchair, middle-aged being 59. Somebody said there was a house. I won't go into that. But anyway, I haven't got time. It's a nice, I haven't got time to palaver a great deal. But I love to palaver. But she's sitting over here. And during the opening prayer, I went over, and as I do often when I see shut-ins in the services, and I went over during the prayer, I shook her hand and I said, "Ma'am, I'm so glad to see you tonight and I hope that you enjoy the service." And she said, "Thank you, Dr. Hiles." I got back on the platform to what I knew I went with the two of us, as far as I knew. And so after the service, she rolled her wheelchair right up here and she said, "Dr. Hiles, would you sign my Bible?" And I said, "Yes, I would." And I said, "What is your trouble, ma'am?" And she said, "My trouble is multiple sclerosis." I think she said that. She may have said muscular dystrophy, but I'm almost sure it was multiple sclerosis. And I said, "I'm so sorry." And she said, "Dr. Hiles, don't feel bad for me." She said, "I only have one great sorrow." And she said, "That is, I wish I could do for my husband what I'm supposed to do." She said, "Somebody else cleans his house." And I sit there and cry. And I say, "I want to clean his house for him." And somebody else washes his, irons his shirts. And I sit there and say, I bet some of you folks out there are envying her. But she said, "I wish I could. That's my job. I'm supposed to wash and iron his shirts. That's my job." And somebody else cooks his meals. And I say, "That's my job. That's my job." And she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "I long to do for my husband the things I'm supposed to do, but I can't because of this awful disease." And that's what the Holy Spirit says tonight. He comes tonight and says, "I long to comfort you. I'm the comforter. Let me comfort you. I lust to comfort you. I envy all the other comforters that you try to get and do my job. I envy them. Let me do my job." He comes tonight and he says, "I lust to give you strength. Oh, dear little widow, having to rear your children by yourself. And it's tough on you. I know it is. God bless every one of you. And little lady, forsaken by your husband. And maybe it took off for somebody else. And you're left to rear the children by yourselves. And you don't know how you can make ends meet. Oh, the Spirit of God comes tonight and says, "I lust to give you comfort. I lust to give you strength. Let me do my work. I envy every other source of strength that you seek. Let me do my work." He comes tonight to you men unemployed, wanting to take your own hands and make a living, but all of a sudden you can't find work. And the Holy Spirit comes tonight and says, "Let me give you strength. I lust to give you strength. It's my job. Let me do my job." He comes tonight to those of you whose loved one has been, the body of your loved one has been placed in the silent city of the dead, and you've walked away from that little place made sacred by the body of one that was precious to you. And you've walked back to an empty chair, or maybe an empty place beside you in bed, or an empty chair across the table. And you're lonesome, and you hurt, and you're bereaved, and your heart is broken, and the Holy Spirit comes beside you up and down these aisles tonight, and he says, "Let me comfort you." He said, "It's my job. Let me do my job." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a person who lives in you. You don't have to be weak. He's the strength giver. You don't have to go without comfort. He's the comforter. You don't have to go without power. He's the power. He is God's mighty Holy Spirit. He longs to do for you what is his job to do. Let him do it. Let him comfort you. Dear one awaiting surgery, and soon you'll say goodbye to your family and roll through some swinging doors. And they'll put a little gown on you and roll you into surgery. And you've never done it before. The Holy Spirit comes to you in the hospital room and he says, "Let me comfort you. It's my job. Let me give you strength. It's my job." This morning, one of our little ladies has, I think, 3 children, and she has multiple sclerosis. And she can't walk. She's in a wheelchair all the time. And she's rearing those 3 children by herself from that wheelchair. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine catching them? 3 children, and she's rearing them and has been for years in that wheelchair. And she came this morning to me and she said, "Pastor, I don't think I'm a very good mother. I want to be a better mother." She said, "You think if I went to the college and took the Christian motherhood courses, it would help me?" And I said, "Well, you sure can. I'll see to it. You get care of tuition, gets paid. You sure can." He comes to that little mother tonight who'd love to just one time take a walk with her children, who'd love to just one time hold those children in her arms and stand up and hug them, and one time just walk to them. And he says, "Let me do my job. It's my job." You don't have to go uncomforted. He's the comforter. You don't have to go weak. He's the strength. You don't have to go powerless. He is the power. And he comes and says, "Let me do it." But now, wait a minute. That's not the communion of the Holy Ghost. when you come and receive His power, that's wonderful, and He's wonderful. But that's not what it means when it says the communion of the Holy Ghost. When you come and receive His strength, then that's marvelous and wonderful. I'll preach my 43,500 sermon, as I said a while ago. I know where I'm going to be. I won't tell you where it is till after it's over. But I know where I'm going to be. But I've already planned my spell. I like that black lady, excuse me. Black lady, she's eating watermelon. And somebody walked up and said, "Your husband just died." And she kept on eating her watermelon. And they said, "Look, Matilda, your husband, he just died. He's dead." And she kept on eating her watermelon, didn't even say a word. They said, "Aren't you going to cry?" She said, "When I get through eating this watermelon, you never seen such carrying ons in your life as I'm going to do." And I'll guarantee, I've already got my spell planned. I know where I'm going to be. I know what hotel I'm going to be in. I know what time I'm going to start shouting and what time I'm going to get through. 43,500 times that I stood and represented the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from a little old poor kid that nobody ever thought would be able to preach a sermon. 43,500 times this blessed, wonderful Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Thank God! Praise God for the Holy Spirit tonight. I wish you knew Him. I wish day by day you walked with Him and knew His fellowship and knew His comfort and knew His power. I wish you knew how wonderful He is. I wish you knew the Holy Spirit. But that's not the communion of the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens? A wonderful thing happens when you let Him do His work in you. You know, tonight, there's some people in this room feeling especially close to me right now. You know who they are? They're the people who know what I'm talking about. You got up this morning as I did and said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I love You." And when I talk about Him, if I were to start bragging on Jim tonight, Judy, and I'd say, "Boy, that Jim, his name is Adams, but they don't have to spell it on that stupid card. Yeah, that Jim Adams, he's a wonderful guy." And, oh boy, old Judy's antenna would fly way up like that. And I'd say, "Boy, he's the best looking guy in this church." Just like that. I'd say, "Man, that guy is great. My soul." That's right. But there's some of you, the first time I said tonight, "The Holy Spirit's wonderful." Oh, you said, "He really is. Oh, that's great." And all of a sudden, there was a communion that existed between you and me. You know why? Because we're in love with the same person. That's why. That other gal that loves Jim and Judy are so close to each other because they both love the same person. But he chose Judy, and the other gal's going to live happily ever afterwards. But I mean, listen. A wonderful thing happens. I look and see another. And I speak tonight about His strength. And those of you that have felt His strength, you thought you couldn't go another step. I'll be honest with you. I get tired like you do. And there are some times I honestly feel I cannot preach. I mean that. There are times when I'll have gone and I've gone and I've gone. And people are always saying, "Brother House," I heard it all the other day. An actor was talking on the news, and he said, "Well, I can't fly every week because I get jet lag. It takes me a little while to get over it." Well, I got the cure of jet lag. He's called the Holy Spirit. And I've sat on the platform in times of 103 fever, and I've said, "Spirit of God, I've got to have help." And I stood up to speak, and all of a sudden, I could feel a surge of energy that He gave to me. Now, when I say that, everybody here that's ever felt that, you and I are awful close to each other right now. Why? We're enjoying the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's why. That's what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit becomes that medium that draws us together. You don't seek it. You get close to the Holy Spirit and let Him do His work in you. And then a wonderful thing happens. I look and see another and feel a closeness that I never felt before. I did not seek this closeness. People often say, "Brother Hiles, how did you develop a close relationship with that great man of God, Dr. John Rice?" Never tried. I never tried. We were close. We were very close. I don't believe two preachers in the history of this nation have ever been closer than John Rice and I were for all those 22 years. How did you develop it? I didn't. I didn't. I love the Holy Spirit. And if any man ever loved the Holy Spirit, it was John R. Rice. And I'd get up in the morning and I'd be praying. And I'd be crying for God to help. And I'd say, "Oh, Spirit of God, help me today." And I'd hear a groan in the room next door. And I'd put my ear over, especially if it's near the bathroom, I'd put my ear over like that. And I'd hear old Dr. John saying, "Oh, Spirit of God, oh, God, oh, Spirit of God, give me strength and power today." We'd go out and eat breakfast together. We'd both been talking to the same person so long. We had a blessed communion. That's the byproduct of it. It's called the communion of the Holy Ghost. It is not received by trying to receive it. It is when two people are in love with the Holy Spirit and they have His power and they feel His strength and they know His comfort and they know how wonderful He is. And all of a sudden they're drawn together like a magnet pulls those little metal shavings together. And then a byproduct of that, you look up and see somebody with whom you're close and whom you love dearly. And then when you do that, you no longer say, "Woe is he." You say, "Woe is me." You don't say, "Woe is thee." You say, "Woe is me." Anytime anybody comes up to you and starts criticizing somebody, mark it down. He's not close to the Holy Spirit. No, when Isaiah got close to the Holy Spirit, he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." Anytime somebody comes up and says, "I got some scuttlebutt to tell you," you mark it down. They're not close to the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because "woe is me" is what you feel. And the closer I get to Him, the more I feel undeserving. Oh, my soul. Time and time again, I've been in some hotel room somewhere in America, and I've prayed for God to help me and God to give me strength. By the time I got through talking to the Holy Spirit an hour or two, I felt unworthy to go in the pulpit. And I said, "God, I don't believe I'm worthy. I don't think I'm deserving to go in the pulpit." And I walked in the pulpit with a praise on my lips and the joy of God in my soul. Let me tell you something, folks. We have a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father who watches over us. We have a wonderful Savior who died for us. We have a wonderful Holy Spirit who offers us strength and comfort and power and offers to teach us the book that He wrote. That's the need in our churches. I owe it to you to be close to the Holy Spirit. You know why I owe it to you? Because that's the only way I can get close to you. By the way, you owe it to me to get close to the Holy Spirit too. That's what's wrong with our churches. Young couples, you want to stay in love with each other? Okay, then you, while you're courting, you just get in love with the Holy Spirit. And don't you, "Oh, we got to get close." You've seen them. They stand around the hallways in the college like they stand in a doctor's office, got that bilious look on their face. And he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Nothing." "Well, you don't act like you did." "How am I supposed to act?" "Well, you didn't say I love me right." "Well, how am I supposed to say it?" "Well, there you are again. What's wrong?" "Nothing's wrong." "Well, you're trying to get close. Won't you get on your knees together and start saying, 'Holy Spirit, give us strength today and help us today.'" And all of a sudden you look up and you'll feel a closeness with her and she'll feel a closeness with you. I don't mean a closeness, it's a demerit closeness. I'm talking about one of them there non-demerit closenesses. That's what the communion of the Holy Spirit's all about. Then follow me, and I've got to close, but follow me carefully. I become enchanted with Him, and I say, "Holy Spirit, I never met you before, but the preacher told me you existed and told me you lived in me. I feel sort of awkward talking to somebody I can't see, but I believe you're there. And Holy Spirit, give me strength today. And Holy Spirit, lead me and teach me and comfort me and give me power." And all of a sudden, there's a freshness and a sweetness about the Christian life. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. And there's a freshness and sweetness about the Christian life you've never known before. "And He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." And the How sweet the fellowship. Then you feel a nudge over here. You look over and say, who are you? I'm Christian. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Isn't he wonderful? He really is. You know, why can't Christians talk like this? Why can't we get together sometime? And why can't we just say, isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Isn't the Bible a good book? Why can't... And all of a sudden, look over, and there's another person. And that person says, you love him too? Yeah, I sure do. Let me tell you how you strengthened me. My husband all of a sudden dropped dead with a heart attack. I thought I couldn't live without him. But he went to heaven not long ago. But I threw myself at the mercy of the Holy Spirit, and he's been so wonderful. And the other person says, let me tell you about mine. Had a baby that was born dead, and we had to place that little baby. We wanted a baby. We didn't have any baby. And doctors said we probably couldn't have but one, and the baby was born dead. And we went to the baby land. And, oh, but how sweet was the Holy Spirit. By the way, what's your name? My name is Joe. What's yours? My name is John. Joe, I'm here close to you. I too. And all of a sudden, there's a communion of the Holy Spirit, because the most wonderful medium in the whole universe is drawing you together. But now here's the danger. The danger is, all of a sudden, you get so enchanted with the closeness with each other. John, I feel close to you now. I do too, Joe. I'm sorry. This is Joe here, and this is John here. Joe, I feel close. Which was which? I've forgotten. And I feel close to you now. I feel close to you, John. Yeah, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. But there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And all of a sudden, Joe and John get so filled so close to each other that Joe and John become real good friends with each other. And the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. Hey. Remember me? I'm the one that got you together a while ago. Huh? You start a college like Hiles Anderson College. I told Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen, yesterday, I think, maybe it's Friday night, I said, sometimes I want to go out to college and mess up the buildings and keep them in bad shape. Because colleges seem to stay better when they're in bad shape and hungry and running scared. Ruins a college to have too much money. That's why we don't have a bunch of folks running around the country begging for our college. We want folks to give their tithes and offerings to their own local church. If you want to send us a gift, we'll take it. We're not going to run around the country pleading with you to give us money. Colleges are better off back in the days when you... Churches are better off sometimes back in the storefront building, in the tent. And what happens is this. We throw ourselves at the mercy of God and say, oh God, help us. Help us. Oh Spirit of God, we can't make it without you. And then all of a sudden, we get infatuated with each other because we have gone through some trials together. And before you know it, the Spirit is not from here to here to here to here. The Spirit is from here to here. It's a horizontal Spirit instead of a up and down Spirit. Perpendicular. It's a horizontal Spirit. But that won't last. After a while, that won't make it. That won't make it. It's got to be a communion of the Holy Spirit. And as we get closer to Him, may Hiles Anderson College always fall at the feet of the Holy Spirit of God and say, Spirit, we love you. And may our fellowship with each other be based on our fellowship with Him, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And if this old church here ever crumbles someday, I guarantee you, it'll be because we come and say, Spirit of God, give us power! Who are you? I remember First Baptist. Oh, we're pretty close, aren't we? And all of a sudden, I saw a church one time, a church I grew up in, named Hillcrest Baptist Church. I saw it go to pot. I can remember those early days when the pastor, they didn't know much about soul winning. They hadn't read my books yet on soul winning. And they didn't know much. See, soul winning as we know it has been rediscovered in the last 25 years in America. The leading baptizing churches in the entire nation baptized 500, 600, 700 people 25, 30 years ago. You could lead the entire 30,000 churches of the Southern Baptist Convention with 300 or 400 baptisms 30 years ago. Soul winning has not been much discovered. But if this church ever ceases to be what it ought to be, it'll be because suddenly we get infatuated with ourselves. I want to be close. God knows I do. I want to be close to you. But I want that closeness to be caused by common closeness we have to the Holy Spirit who indwells us. I want that closeness to be one that's not broken, but one that a common medium whom we love dearly and who fills us and empowers us and teaches us and instructs us. I want that love we have for Him to bind us together. The danger comes. I mentioned in my home church a while ago. I remember those early days. Brother Summerall, our pastor, he didn't know much about soul winning, but he preached with compassion and tears in his eyes. He was my pastor when I was a teenage lad. And I can recall at the end of a service on a Sunday, we did sometimes go all Sunday to not have anybody saved at our church, and Brother Summerall would step down. I can see him now. And his face was stained with tears. And he said, "Folks, we haven't anybody saved all today." He said, we can't go home. We can't go home. He said, "Let's come down to the altar and gather around and ask God to forgive us for going a whole week and not getting anybody saved." And some of them, we'd walk down and we'd kneel at the altar. And I can recall those old prayer meetings. And we'd say, "Oh, God, save souls." We didn't know to go soul winning. We thought preachers were supposed to preach the gospel and preach them down the aisle. We're supposed to bring them as visitors. We didn't know. And, how close we got and how we enjoyed it. And I remember we used to say, "Good old Hillcrest, good old Hillcrest. Ah, where the fellowship is sweet, good old Hillcrest." Yeah, but we got more enchanted with each other than we got with Him. I said this morning, you better get your line hooked up straight to headquarters. But while you do it, don't forget that, "Oh, I love the Father. What a wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father we have. He loves us. He keeps the sun on schedule in the morning and calls it to set on time in the evening. He puts the moon right where He wants it every night and shapes it just like He wants it shaped. He dots the stars in heaven like chandeliers that hover over an earthly chancel. What a wonderful Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." And I love Him. We have a wonderful Savior. We talked about Him a while ago. Nail-scarred hands. God incarnate, God in the flesh. God suffering, paying the penalty. That's wonderful. But there's somebody else in that family. And that's the Holy Spirit. And once you get to know Him in His power, and once you feel His comfort, and once you feel His strength, it'll bind you with others who felt that same power, comfort, and strength. I used to read the scripture. David said, "I will praise Thee more and more." And I used to wonder, when I get old, you think I'll be more excited than them now? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I love Him more now than I did. When you're 60 years old, He's forgiven you more times than He did when you were 25 or 30. How sweet is forgiveness. How many more are His mercies? Sometimes I walk to the pulpit, my arthritis is bothering me, followed by a close second. In second, every round the turn, my rheumatitis comes second. And coming in third as we come toward the stretch for the sermon, my neuritis is bothering me. And I stand to speak, and all of a sudden His wonderful power comes. You see, I'll praise Him more and more. Check David's Psalms. The last one said all the praise the Lord's to Him. Why? Because he'd walked with the Holy Spirit all those many years. Ladies and gentlemen, you're missing something. you're missing something. You're missing a blessed fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You want to be close to people and feel the closeness that come between the people of God. Choose that common medium that is the greatest medium in the world to give us communion. And that's the dear Holy Spirit of God. He's wonderful. I want you to know. That's the way you get close. That's the way churches stay close. That's the way schools stay close. That's the way Christians stay close. When they get so wrapped up in God's blessed Holy Spirit until He becomes the magnet that draws us all to Him. And as we look at His face and fellowship with Him, suddenly we look around and see all the other Christians that have been drawn to Him. And we're together. That's what the Bible means when it says the communion of the Holy Ghost. Our Heavenly Father,